Good morning and welcome to worship here at West End. We're so glad that you are here this morning. I have a few announcements for you this morning. First, the church offices will be closed tomorrow, Monday, for the Juneteenth holiday. Also, next weekend is the Pride Festival here in Nashville, and we'll have volunteers out and about. And if you'd like to participate, there's a QR code on the back of your bulletin, and you can sign up to serve and volunteer. Today is the last Sunday to register for Vacation Bible School, so make sure that you go online and register your kiddos. Also, if you will save the date, the church is going to a sounds game together. That'll be on Tuesday, July the 26th. The game's at 7 p.m. We'll order tickets and all go together. It is a very fun time, so hopefully you won't miss it. Also, we have a special way to encourage and honor our preschool teachers. As you know, we have a preschool in our first floor, and we have created a poster to hang right when you walk down the steps for all the teachers to see. And we'd love for you to write encouraging messages to them, saying how much we appreciate their love and dedication to our little ones every single day. This morning, I have the pleasure to introduce our preacher for this morning. Her name is Frances Merritt. In your bulletin for 8:45, it says Christopher Harris. Christopher, our youth intern, is sick, and so Frances is stepping in this morning for him. The scripture passage is not the psalm, but it is John 19, 1 through 17. Rob will read that for us this morning. But I want to tell you about Frances. Frances recently joined the West End family after retiring from 46 years at the United Methodist Publishing House, where the highlight of her journey there was to serve as the chaplain for 3 years. She enjoys the ministry here with our homebound members, meeting new people and hearing their stories. In her spare time, she enjoys reading, going for long walks, and of course, a good shopping spree. She and her husband, Jimmy, will celebrate 50 years of marriage in December. We're grateful for Frances and looking forward to her word this morning. May God open our hearts, our minds, our very lives to the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. We gather this morning to praise God's name. We gather this morning to learn of God's salvation. We gather this morning to accept God's grace. God's love is all around us. Let us come to the Lord with our confessions, prepared to receive the assurance of God's unfailing mercy. God of grace and healing, we confess that too often we do not trust you. We look away from your love, we turn away from our neighbors, and we isolate ourselves in fortresses of comfort and solitude. Open our hearts so that we may know you are loved and you in return. Give us strength and enable us to channel your restorative power into the lives of those around us. Restore and enliven our faith so that your healing power freely flows in and through us, bearing witness to the God who heals and loves all. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love, and you are invited to do that in whatever way makes you feel most comfortable here in the sanctuary, or if you're online, you can exchange in the chat or send a text message to someone you love. The peace of Christ be with you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Michael and Vivian Wiss brings their daughter to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Family in Christ. Through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Michael and Vivian, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help,
We will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in her service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land in which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of the womb, and was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He calls his disciples to share in the suffering of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. And so pour out your Holy Spirit on this gift of water and this child who receives it to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that in dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through with you and the Holy Spirit, who lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child?
Genevieve Claire Weiss.
Genevieve Claire Weiss, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if you'll put your hands on your sister and your mom. Genevieve, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your life. Amen. And now, let's go down there. Come on with me. Yes, we'll go. Oh, we need the water. Okay, let's bring the water. Let's go. Perfect. We've got the water. Perfect.
Will the congregation please stand and face Genevieve Claire? Now it's time our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Genevieve Claire to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Genevieve Claire, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. That in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel, John 9, 1 through 17. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then the man went and washed and came back, able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is it not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and I washed, and I received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" They were divided, so they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." And he said, "He is a prophet." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
All right, I want to invite any of our children who are in the sanctuary to come join me up here. And if you're watching from home, you can move a little closer to your screen. Hi, friend. Come sit up here. All right, we're going to read a story together. This is a book called Change Sings. Okay, we'll go this way so you can see the pictures. I can hear change humming in its loudest, proudest song. I don't fear change coming, and so I sing along. I scream with the skies of red and blue streamers. I dream with the cries of tried and true dreamers. I'm a chant that rises and rings. There is hope where my change sings. Though some don't understand it, those windmills of mysteries, I sing with all the planet and its hills of histories. I hum with 100 hearts, each of us lifting a hand. I use my strength and my smarts, take a knee to make a stand. I'm bright as the light each day brings. There is love where my change sings. I show others tolerance, though it might take some courage. I don't make a taller fence, but fight to build a better bridge. I talk not only of distances, from where and how we came. I also walk our differences to show we are the same. I'm a movement that roars and springs. There's a wave where my change sings. Change sings where? There, inside me, because I'm the change I want to see. As I grow, it grows like seeds. I am just what the world needs. I'm the voice where freedom rings. You're the love your bright heart brings. We are the wave starting to spring, for we are the change we sing. We're what the world is becoming, and we know it won't be long. We'll all hear change strumming. Won't you sing along? The end. This book reminds us that we could be change in the world, that we can do what God calls us to do and spread God's love and God's light to everyone we meet and help those around us and show our love for all of the people. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this opportunity to be reminded that we can be your light and love in the world, that our change can sing through the lives of everyone we meet. We hope that you will be with us, and we trust that you are. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, friends, if you are 3, 4, or 5, you can follow me to Children's Church. Otherwise, you can go back and sit with your families. Thanks for joining me.
I'm 4.
Okay, let's go.
And remember me, I'm Lucas.
Yeah, aw.
Good morning. I'm Frances Merritt. My sermon title this morning is A Blind World, Jesus, the Light of the World. Two songs come to mind with this text. The first is the famous hymn, Amazing Grace, in which Newton says in one of the stanzas, "Was blind, but now I see." An almost verbatim quotation of a man born blind in our text this morning. But this also comes to mind, another song, Jesus, the light of the world. Because the religious authorities are blind to the light of the world. Our sight is a wonderful gift from God. We marvel at the fiery colors of a sunset, the rich pastels of spring, and the delicate beauty of a flower. How tragic it must be to never see the light of day, never see a beautiful sky, never see the eclipse, never see a tree, never see a bird. Never see a snowflake. Or to never see the faces of our parents. Yet, there is a far greater tragedy than physical blindness. In our text this morning, Jesus is walking along the city of Jerusalem. And he noticed a man who was born blind. There's no indication that this man cried out to Jesus, nor that anyone called Jesus' attention to this man. Jesus has healed many blind people in the Synoptic Gospel. But here, this man is blind, which points out seemingly his hopelessness. The man was born blind. And that fact sparks the disciples' question. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? The disciples wanted to call a meeting. The disciples saw the man as a subject of a theological discussion. That's not what Jesus saw. Jesus had compassion for this man. Jesus saw this man as a subject of mercy. It was not because of the sins of his parents or because of his sins, Jesus answered. He was born blind so that the power of God could be seen in him and manifest in him. Jesus is saying this is an opportunity for God to manifest his power in this man's life. Friends, whenever there's suffering and hurt in the church, there's always an opportunity for us to do this work, to heal the brokenhearted, to give to the poor, and to give sight to the blind. We must work while the opportunity is ours to manifest the grace of God to humankind. All of us must quickly carry out the tasks given us by the one who sent us to open blind eyes, because there is little time left before the night falls and all work comes to an end. Jesus saw this man's blindness as something that could display God's glory. What Jesus said initially looks a bit confusing until you realize that he knew his time was limited. He saw the man and at the same time knew that his time was nearing before his death. He had clarity about his mission, as well as limited time he had left on earth. He saw the man as somebody who fit into the mission that God had given him. But not only did he see the man as being blind, he saw blind disciples. He saw a blind world. On the cross, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It's like that with us. When we see some people, what do we notice? I have to confess that I've looked at some people and been more interested in having a theological discussion rather than having compassion for them or trying to help them in some manner. Part of the problem is that we lack urgency that Jesus has. We really don't realize the short time that we have. We look at people and we look at time and we see something completely different than what Jesus sees. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." There's more than meets the eye. As you remember, Jesus had originally called himself the light of the world in John chapter 8, verse 12. In the middle of the Feast of the Tabernacle, a feast that celebrated the harvest and God's goodness and provision. As part of the festivities, four golden candles were put into place, and oil was poured into a large gold bowl. The lamp rose over the wall of the temple. It was so bright that they were said to have lighted up the entire city. The Levites led this celebration with musical instruments, and the singing and dancing and last all night. But the main candelabra was left until the last night so that Israel will remember their full salvation. Not only yet but being realized, but all the lights in the temple could not open the eyes of the Jewish world. There were not real light until Jesus came with the light from above. He stood in the place where all the oil and their golden bowls and said to them, "Do you call this light? I am the light of the world." Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise of salvation. What happened next is pretty amazing. Jesus restores sight to a lot of people. But this is the only time that he restored the sight of somebody who was born blind. Some even think that he uses imagery from creation of God forming life from dust as he restored light, as he restored the sight to this man. Then he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and smoothed the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man went and washed and came back singing. The neighbors start talking. It didn't take long for the word to get out that something miraculous had happened to this blind beggar. Not only was he able to see, but no longer was a beggar. Friends, when Jesus heals us, we are completely transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't look the same. We have a new attitude. We act differently. We are a new creation in Jesus Christ. The neighbors were the first to notice the change. They couldn't believe that this was the same man. They kept asking, are you sure? It can't be him. Some maintained that this man only resembled the blind man. The man tells what happened. He did not tell them everything about Jesus. All he knew was a man called Jesus. I know nothing else about this man. And he stood up to these religious leaders on what he knew. And we have to learn, friends, to stand up on what we know and what rather than what we don't know. He said to the religious leaders, when I got up this morning, I could not see. When my parents woke me up this morning, I could not see. But this man put some mud on my eyes and told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. This morning, I was blind, but this evening, I can see. They could not discredit the man. Then they took the man to the Pharisees. This is the religious institute of that day. Now, as it happens, Jesus had healed the man on the Sabbath. The Pharisees asked the man all about it. So he told them that he smoothed the mud over his eyes, and when he was washed away, he could see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man Jesus is not from God, for he is working on the Sabbath. Others said, but how could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs? So there was a deep division of opinion among them. They took him to his parents. For fear that the parents sent him back and told him to go back to the son. That they could be put out of the synagogue, so they would not. They were very skeptical about what they would say because they would be put out of the synagogue. When Jesus heals a mother or a father, cannot answer for us. We have to speak for ourselves. The parents were right when they told the religious leaders, he is old enough to speak for himself. And I say to anyone here whose eyes have been opened by Jesus. No one can tell your story but you. You are old enough to speak for yourself, because the man spoke for himself. The religious leaders became very angry and excommunicated him. They put him out of the synagogue. They will put you out where you can see Christ beyond the institutional church. They will put you out. But don't worry. Don't be afraid to be put out. For the scripture tells us when they put him out, Jesus came. If you stand for him when they put you out, he will come and give you more light. Jesus said to the man, I have come to judge the world. I have come to give sight to the blind and show those who think they can see that they are blind. This is when we get an idea of the story. It's about more than a man being given sight. It also is a commentary on how some of us as religious people can be so very blind when it comes to seeing what Jesus sees. The disciples couldn't see. They saw a theological discussion rather than a man in need of help. The Pharisees couldn't see. They were conducting investigations. Lives were being changed. But a man born blind, not only physically, but spiritually. Thank God for giving this dark world the light. For later, night comes to Jesus at Calvary. But those disciples remembered his message, that he said that I must work while it's day. But that was not all they remembered. He said to them, you are the light of the world. He calls us to be the light as he was in the world. We must let our light shine. Amen.
So if you will stand in body or in spirit, turn to page 883 and profess with me the healing words of the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayer requests. If you'd like them to be shared with the pastoral team who prays throughout the week, please put on the gray card in front of you and then put it in the offering plate as it comes by in a few moments. If you're online with us, you can click the Contact Us link and share your prayer request with us there. This morning, our deepest sympathy is extended to Peggy Sewell and her family, who are mourning the death of her brother, LaRon Thompson, who passed away in Canada, Texas, on June 11th. Services were held there on June 16th. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Liberating God, we give you thanks for the celebration of Juneteenth today. We invoke your spirit to fall afresh. Fall afresh on all people who claim the historical declaration of freedom. God of joy, bless all those who proclaim the spiritual reality of liberation. And give courage and grit to all who work for true justice in our country and our world. We are grateful for the stories of and voices of Black strength and power in both in our midst and throughout the generations. We thank you for songs that stir our hearts and shake our souls, guide us to make marginalized voices heard. And this morning we grieve and pray for the community of Vestavia Hills and mourn for more people killed at the hands of gun violence. How long, O God, will we pray to end violence? Lord, give us the kingdom imagination to see and create a world without violence, starting with our own hearts and actions. And Heavenly Father, we also pray a special blessing on fathers, those who swaddle babies, those who cut the crusts off sandwiches, and those who shout loud in the stands. Give your loving presence to those who never experienced what it was like to have a nurturing dad. And bless those who grieve the loss of their fathers and father figures. We give you deep gratitude for all the people in our lives who bring patience, peace, passion, and playfulness to our lives. On this Sunday, we praise you, the spirit of life and love and liberation, and we are grateful for the ways that you are to us, father, mother, sibling, conspirator, and friend. Thanks be. And now we pray together the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone's in a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries here in the Nashville community and around the world, we invite you to give as you are able and feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you're welcome to give via the options you see in the chat or on the screen. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our very lives to a God who loves us unconditionally.
with you all.